At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's Super Bowl week here on Sports Grid and on Fantasy Sports Today. Thanks for watching our show this afternoon. I'm Craig Mish along with Davis Maddock. We got you for 2 hours here. Plenty of look at props for the Super Bowl, fantasy, reality perspective. Of course, we're going to get to it all and how things affect the world of fantasy. Also, the NBA trade deadline is coming up on Thursday, how that may affect DFS and fantasy as well. Davis Maddock with me, as always, for 2 hours here on the show. Davis, hope you had a good weekend. I saw your guy won that golf tournament this weekend, too, at Pebble Beach. So nice weekend for you as we get ready to talk Super Bowl this week.
Yep, my guy, Tom Hoagie, wins the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. Unfortunately, though, it's got to be one of the only times in his career that I've not had a wager on him because the field was so bad, because they're doing this Saudi Arabian Super League thing. Right. Bryson and Dustin Johnson and all these guys, they were all overseas. So the numbers this week at the Pro-Am, they were awful. He went off at 50-1 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. So unfortunately did not have the ticket, but always happy to see my friends get a win on the PGA Tour for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And here in South Florida, everyone, of course, is buzzing with the new hire in the NFL. And that's where we're going to begin as we start the show today. Mike McDaniel is the new head coach of the Miami Dolphins. So his seasons in San Francisco rewarded. Second year in a row, they take a coordinator off San Francisco and make them a head coach in the NFL. Of course, Robert Saleh the year before. Herbert and Crosby named the MVPs as the AFC wins the Pro Bowl. I did not see, watch, or recap 1 second of it, and hopefully you did not as well. The Cavs get Caris LeVert traded again. I think the second time in 3 years. This time he goes to Cleveland from Indiana. Remember, he came over from Brooklyn in that initial trade. And Tom Hoagie wins the Pebble Beach event. Davis mentioned, very important to keep an eye on these events in Saudi Arabia. I saw Phil Mickelson talking about that this week. Harold Varner ends up winning the Saudi Open. And so the other things that are happening today is we're closing in on the end of the hiring process here for head coaches, Davis, in the NFL. Mike McDaniel, who is getting a lot of great reviews, of course, because of the way that he sort of converted things into the offense with San Francisco. He's going to now be basically Tua's mentor as far as things happening in Miami. But the other shock today is to see that Lovie Smith may end up being the head coach of the Houston Texans. That was not something that I saw coming. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I don't really understand where this is coming from. You know, we've heard several different names being finalists for that position. You know, Brian Flores was one of the guys that they were discussing. Apparently, they were discussing having Josh McCown, you know, who has never coached at the NFL level before, be their head coach. I wonder if this is a reaction to that Brian Flores
lawsuit. I mean, it sort of seems in some way that it could be a reaction to that. But I mean, really what we know about the Texans organization is that it's a joke. I mean, it is owned by someone who doesn't really understand what's going on in the NFL. And the owner's son is the guy who's calling the shots in the front office. So it's just, you know, bad decision on top of bad decision. I think Lovie Smith is an F- hire, you know, just not a guy who was successful in the NFL, not a guy who was successful in college football. It reeks of desperation to me.
Yeah, it does seem like a walk back here. It seems like maybe if they had to do it all over again, maybe David Culley was really the answer going into year two. And for whatever reason, they parted, ways with him a couple of weeks ago. As we welcome in our radio audience, a Sports Grid. This is Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Nish, along with Davis Maddock. And then, look, the Dolphins, you know, honestly, Davis, are in a predicament too. Of course, they have everything happening with Brian Flores. We know that they wanted to go offense. They had Harbaugh, the guy that I know that their owner wanted initially, you know, what, 6-7 years ago, whenever it was, they tried to get him to come. Then he was available again for a second. We ended up going back to Michigan. Michigan's, by the way, their offensive coordinator left Michigan while Jim Harbaugh was going back. So, you know, all kinds of crazy coaching stuff here. But inevitably, McDaniel will be judged on how well Tua plays and not much more, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just sort of the whole franchise, right? When it became clear that, my original analysis was wrong, that it was, you know, kind of ownership and stuff that wanted to get Deshaun Watson in there, but actually it was Brian Flores. I mean, clearly the organization has said, we drafted Tua, we took him. We tried to improve the wide receiver room. I think they will try to improve the wide receiver room again, you know, this offseason. But there's a lot of pressure on him. And, you know, I'm not sure how I feel about this hire. You know, one, I think it's a good direction to be hiring younger guys who have not been head coaches of teams before. And McDaniel certainly is very charming. His interviews are all really good. But it's unclear what his responsibility was in San Francisco. True. As the offensive coordinator,
yeah,
because he didn't call plays, right? Shanahan calls the plays, and we know Shanahan is a really good offensive mind. So, I mean, maybe he interviewed very well, but it's just basically it's unclear what this guy's football philosophy is really up until this point.
Yeah, and fascinating part of the whole dynamic is Mike McDaniel gets a job for what we have been explaining. Eric Bieniemy does the same thing in Kansas City. So if we are led to believe that it's Andy Reid doing what he's doing in Kansas City.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
The city, it's crazy to think that Bieniemy does not get a gig. Mike McDaniel does, but at least the take back here in South Florida is everyone seemingly pretty happy with the hire that they went on in terms of offense. But you know, whether or not that means anything in a year or two from now, no one really knows for sure. All right, coming up next, NBA trade deadline is coming up Thursday. The Brooklyn Nets are, I don't know if a tailspin is the word for it, but so many of their players are out. There's rumors swirling everywhere about the trade, potential trade of James Harden. Steve Nash talks about that. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Man, NBA trade deadline coming up this Thursday, and of course, lots of names out there. There is some potential for some really big trades this week, but of course, we're going to have to see what plays out over the next 72 hours. But the name that everyone seems to be discussing is the possibility of James Harden being moved from the Brooklyn Nets. Yesterday, in a pregame interview, their head coach, Steve Nash, said, hey, nothing to see here. He's going to be on our team the rest of the season. And Nash also said he wants to play in Brooklyn.
I've talked to James. He wants to be here. You know, he wants to be here long term as well. So I don't think anything's changed other than noise from the outside. James wants to be here. We're building with James, and we think we have the best chance to win with James. So, you know, I don't think anything's changed on the inside, in our locker room, in our communication. It's just all the noise from the outside.
When you mentioned you talked to James and he wants to be here, was that like a formal conversation with him? Obviously, there's a lot swirling. Does that include the front office? I mean, how deep did you guys get into, you know, his desire to be here?
This has been a constant thing since the summer. You know, he's continually reiterated that he wants to be here. And we've continually said that we want him here and that that's our best chance to win. So nothing's changed from the communication we've had. And we just want to be conservative with him so we don't lose him for big stretches. We think when he's healthy and Kevin's healthy and Kyrie plays, our team's a totally different team. And we're excited by it.
Coach.
I mean, Davis, the end game here with Brooklyn is having all those three players. And I mean, you're not going to be able to trade Harden, I don't think, unless it's a Simmons deal or of some kind to get a player back that's going to be the caliber of a Harden to win a championship. I guess the question becomes 3 days from now, it's not a matter of believing what Steve Nash is saying, because we've heard coaches say this before, then the player gets traded. But is it in the best interest of the Nets to do a 180 and change their mind, maybe, and move Harden somewhere else?
Well, first off, I don't believe Steve Nash at all. We would not be hearing these reports if James Harden was, 100% gruntled, let's say. If James Harden was 100% happy, everything was cruising along smoothly in Brooklyn, we would not be hearing this. We wouldn't be hearing it from the Brooklyn side. We wouldn't be hearing it from the 76ers side, which is where a lot of this stuff is coming from, that Daryl Morey wants Harden and that, you know, the Simmons-Harden swap is there. I was just looking through teams last night, seeing if there was another destination, you know, other than Philadelphia where it might make sense. And the Portland Trailblazers, I think, are one spot where it could make sense. You know, Damian Lillard has made it pretty clear he's just about done playing for the Portland Trailblazers. And if that's true, then there's no point in holding on to CJ McCollum. The Blazers made the trade last week, trading away Norman Powell and Robert Covington, two of the three guys who have led the team in minutes up into this point, you know, signaling that they don't want to be competitive this year. So I thought that was an interesting one. I think, you know, on the balance of probability, Harden is going to finish out this season as a member of the Brooklyn Nets, unless that 76ers deal does get done. But, you know, one of the other things is I am not so certain that James Harden is the guy that you want to be leveraging your entire franchise for anymore. He is 32 years old. He is going to be turning 33 fairly soon. We know he's not a guy who takes his conditioning all that seriously. You know, he has played worse this season than in years past. So it's a very interesting situation.
Yeah, it definitely is. And of course, with right now Durant out and with Harden not playing, Kyrie Irving has really been tremendous for them. Irving, after the game last night, 27 points, 9 rebounds, 11 assists, and 2 blocks. Irving talked about, basically James Harden and all the rumors that are out there as far as him being traded.
How all those kind of media plants start going around with rumors and stuff like that, I really do not concern myself with that. So, you know, a few conversations that we've had, he's been really committed, and you know, we just hold him to his word. But obviously, when we're going out to play games, we can't even really think about it. So, you know, we would love to have him in the lineup, but we want him at his optimal health.
Season-long leagues is not really something we talk about too often, Davis, but what a gift Kyrie Irving has been, right? Like hanging on, and then all of a sudden now he's the only guy playing in Brooklyn. He's putting up massive numbers. I mean, look at the loss yesterday, but look at the numbers he put up yesterday. I mean, not a ton of people are still playing NBA season long. And I know that DFS, you put him in your lineup, but talk about anybody who did a draft right now, he's paying huge dividends.
Yeah, he's been really good per 36 minutes, 23 points, steal a game, 5 assists, 5 rebounds. I mean, and especially in the games where Harden and Durant have not played, certainly, you know, I'm sure the Brooklyn Nets wish that he could be playing in their home games for a lot of different reasons. You know, that is, I realized this scenario last night, by the way. If they end up, because of this losing streak, having to play the Toronto Raptors in a playoff series, the Raptors have been going on a winning streak, Kyrie would not be available for that series because he can't play the home games due to the vaccine mandate, and he is not even allowed to go to Canada at all. So he can't play in those. He couldn't play in Toronto at all. So they definitely would want to avoid the Toronto Raptors in an eventual playoff series. That would be pretty brutal for them.
Yeah, definitely makes a lot of sense. Yesterday's big game, was between Philadelphia and Chicago, and the Philadelphia 76ers came on top of that. And look who's creeping up again in the MVP conversation, folks. No, none other than Joel Embiid. Look at this game he had yesterday. 40 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 blocks. And naturally, with the way Embiid is playing, he said yesterday, as long as he is healthy, forget about everybody else. As long as he is healthy and he's on the floor, he thinks the Sixers are contenders.
You know, I've always believed that, you know, as long as I'm on the floor, we have a chance against anybody. So going into the season, it was the same mindset. And, right there, the East this year is tough. You can be first today and then you lose one game and you drop all the way to 6. So we just need to keep building every single game, trying to get a couple in a row and try to separate ourselves from the playing or from the 5th or the 6th seed. But like I said, we need to build every single game.
Could be the first time in my lifetime the East is better than the West in the NBA. Like, I just don't ever remember this happening. Now, teams have won championships, the Bulls, the Pistons, the Celtics, of course. But just as a whole, I don't ever remember the East being, like, better than the West from 1 to 8 or 1 to 10, I think. A big game for Embiid. Worth noting also, Davis, in that game, DeMar DeRozan was just out of control last night, too. He had a monster crazy game also in a loss for the Bulls. Want to mention that as well. And maybe it's one of those two players winning MVP this year.
Yeah, I mean, seemed like a while that it was just like Steph's to lose. I think he got down to plus 400 early on in the season, but very weird for Steph Curry, but he's been in like an extended shooting slump and the Warriors have dropped a couple games here and there. It is wild that the 76ers are basically a one-star team. You really do not see one-star teams be in the running for a one seed, which, it sounds crazy to say they're in the running for the one seed, but they have 32 wins. The Bucks have 34, the Cavs have 33, the Bulls have 33, and they have a bunch of injuries, and the Heat have 34. I'm rooting for the Bulls here, but they are getting done in by injuries at absolutely the worst time with Lonzo being banged up, and they don't really have a backup point guard.
Yeah, and look, the game yesterday, you had two big stars going off for 40-plus points. Certainly this could come down right to the end as to who wins the East. The West looks like it's Phoenix to lose, no doubt. By the way, you think that Los Angeles, you think they knew the Super Bowl was coming to Los Angeles, Davis? Would they schedule Giannis and the Bucks to play the Lakers tomorrow night in L.A.? I think they may have had a feeling that they knew that the Super Bowl was going to be there and get all the media coverage tomorrow night. So we'll talk about that on tomorrow's show as well. But of course, the Super Bowl is Sunday. Props are out over on FanDuel. We're going to take extended looks at them throughout the week right here on Fantasy Sports Today. So stay on the grid as Davis and I will return in just a couple of minutes with more fantasy and reality discussion. Don't go away. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Our coverage of the Super Bowl continues. Of course, all of our coverage in Los Angeles coming up a little bit later today with Scott Farrell. But Davis and I here continuing on Fantasy Sports Today. And the Bengals had some media availability today. And Davis, CJ Uzomah says he is not missing the biggest game of his life. So, of course, adjust your player props accordingly based on coming up this Sunday. But that's kind of the way that you can get ahead of some of these things. It's actually like the injury-related stuff, Higby, Uzomah. Like, if you could figure out who's going to play and who's not going to play, you could take advantage of some of those.
Yeah, or betting that, you know, look, Uzomah, it's going to be the biggest game of his life. They're going to shoot him up with all the painkillers that they have in the building. No guarantee he's able to make it, you know, obviously through the entire game. So maybe, you know, some Drew Sample player props, some Mitchell Wilcox, you know, player props, stuff like that is one of the angles. And I really have not heard anyone discuss this, but Cam Akers suffered a shoulder injury in their win over the San Francisco 49ers. And I was just kind of combing through props last night as we did a big preview podcast. And all the Cam Akers stuff basically just looks like the books, the market is expecting him to be, you know, 100% starter, good to go. And I am not 100% sure on that. So I think I think the Sony Michel props are a little interesting.
Well, you remember a couple of years ago when Todd Gurley was 100% healthy going into the Super Bowl, and literally every Gurley prop went under in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. All right, let's get to updated MVP odds courtesy of FanDuel for the Super Bowl this week. Not much has changed. As you can see, Stafford still plus 120. Burrow down, I think, from plus 250 to plus 230, if I'm not mistaken. But Kupp is the same. Aaron Donald is the same. Jamar Chase is the same. And I don't know that anyone's going to talk you out of Odell Beckham Jr. at +25 to 1. So you're going to stick with that as we head into Sunday?
Yes. Yeah. I filled out my card last night, and I think we'll probably get more into that stuff, you know, Thursday, Friday, as we get a little bit closer. But I will tell you that Cooper Kupp and Odell Beckham to win the MVP of this game are both on my card, which is my thinking is this. So when the Chiefs win a Super Bowl, when the Patriots with Brady won the Super Bowl, or the Patriots with, or the Buccaneers mm-hmm. with Brady, when, you know, Aaron Rodgers wins a Super Bowl, those guys are of such a caliber, they are such stars, that as long as they just have a passable game, they're winning the MVP, right? So Mahomes wins Super Bowl MVP in 2019. I think he had 250 yards and one rushing touchdown, one passing touchdown. But really, the rightful MVP winner in that game was Damian Williams, right? So my thinking is with these two teams, now if the Bengals win, I actually think that Burrow has that star caliber that Burrow gets there. I don't think that's true for the Rams. I think Stafford is obviously a great quarterback, but I don't think the media views him in that top five elite has to win Super Bowl MVP quarterback. So if either Kupp or Odell has, you know, 8 catches, 150 yards, a touchdown or two, and especially if it's like a signature moment, right? Like we always think about the signature moment of a Super Bowl. Sure. If, you know, Cooper Kupp catches a touchdown to win the game or whatever, I think he's winning MVP and not Odell. So I really like both of those guys for Super Bowl MVP.
Well, look, if that is the case, then let me present these odds to you, which, by the way, I don't know. It doesn't seem like there's a ton of value here as compared to the players, because when we look at the position of the MVP winner at quarterback, you have minus 300. So clearly you're not going to bet that. And it very well could be the winner. But I don't know, Davis, 3 to 1. Is there a ton of value there? I almost feel like I would rather just throw, you know, 20 bucks on Kupp, 20 bucks on Beckham. And if one wins, I do a lot better, right? Running back,
no,
fullback plus 10-1, defensive player 8-1, tight end 15-1, and then the, you know, anybody else basically, kicker, punter, somebody else, that's not going to happen. It's not going to be 70-1. It's going to be one of these first few, and I would not eliminate tight end, by the way, by any means. I mean, one of these guys has a great game and it could change everything, but it doesn't really make a ton of sense here. Like, wouldn't you rather just bet the players? What am I missing here on the receivers?
Well, you know, you're getting T and Chase thrown in there with the wide receivers as well, because, sure, you know, those guys are so dominant. I actually think the odds here that look like I would bet would be defensive player. We have a former Super Bowl MVP defensive player in this game. Von Miller won Super Bowl MVP when the Denver mm-hmm. Broncos beat the Carolina Panthers. And what you need to have a defensive player win is a low scoring game, you know, 17-13, and they have to score a touchdown, right? So a scoop and score, a pick six, or just like a crazy sack game. Like Aaron Donald gets four sacks. Von Miller gets four sacks. Trey Hendrickson, the Bengals guy, gets four sacks or something crazy like that. And I'm kind of expecting this game to go under. I don't know if there's going to be a ton of fireworks here. So I do kind of like some of the defensive player numbers just overall. Yeah.
You know, people forget that Von Miller won the MVP in that game in the Peyton Manning Super Bowl.
I just
Bowl,
assume
right?
Peyton like Manning won it. Yeah.
It's true. Yeah, people forget that. But it was, you know, Miller was fantastic in that game. All right, now here's the final one we'll look at here. And then, you know, coming back on the other side, we got a lot more to go over here, no question. And this is the Super Bowl MVP of Stafford versus the rest of the field. So you could get Stafford at plus 118 or the field minus 146. Now, if you just bet Stafford to win the MVP, it is plus 120. So, Davis, when you analyze this, I suppose the likelihood is that, well, basically the question is, do you think that there's value on minus 146 by not picking Stafford?
Yeah, I do. Because again, I think there are scenarios where the Rams win this game. Stafford doesn't have a great game. Stafford throws two interceptions and the Rams still win. Stafford has, you know, 220 passing yards and one touchdown, and Cam Akers wins or Aaron Donald wins. You know, I think the fact that there is real star power on this roster outside of Stafford on both sides of the ball, Ramsey could win, right? If Ramsey has a pick six, mm-hmm. you know, or something like that. Like I think the field is quite live here. And honestly, it's sort of just a bet that the Bengals win the game as well. Like, I feel like if you are on the Bengals, like if you are on the Bengals plus four or Bengals money line, I feel like this is a pretty good corresponding wager.
Yeah, and the, you know, the other thing is, you mentioned Williams, who you're probably right, should have won the MVP with Kansas City 2 years ago. You know, there's very little discussion about a possible running back winning the MVP. I mean, we didn't see any in terms of the first six players as far as odds on FanDuel. And running back falls behind wide receiver. Like, so, I understand the notion with that, Davis. There's no question. But if we would have had this conversation, what, 10, 20 years ago? Like, running back may be as close to quarterback as possible. It's just the game has changed so much. That's why these wide receivers are ahead of the game.
Yeah, and I also think that the market is correctly assuming that the running backs in this game are going to have tough sledding. You know, I think the reason why the Rams running backs are going to be tough sledding is, look, I mean, it's amazing that Cam Akers came back from this Achilles injury, but he just really has not looked all that good, right? Just really has not looked very explosive. Yeah. He was good in the Arizona game, but, you know, he's not looked like prime Eric Dickerson out there. And probably we will see a little bit of Sony Michel worked in. You know, I mean, he just played 55% of the snaps against the 49ers as Akers was dealing with that injured shoulder. And Joe Mixon has basically been irrelevant in the playoffs. The best play a Bengals running back has made was Samaje Perine scoring the touchdown. Had like a 48 receiving yard touchdown. And I don't know. I mean, I think both of these teams are going to try to run a lot, and I don't think they're going to be very successful in running the ball, which is why I kind of am thinking this is maybe not going to be a Super Bowl for the ages. I hope I'm wrong. Right. I very much hope that both of these teams come out and are really aggressive, and we have Chase and Kupp and Odell flying all over the place. But I have a bad sense of foreboding that it is not going to be, you know, an all out aerial assault style game.
Yeah, I think it was the game, if I'm not mistaken, between Seattle and New England a few years ago, where, if the name I get right, was it Darius Butler that intercepted
Malcolm Butler
that intercepted Russell Wilson at the goal line, but Butler did not win the MVP of that game, correct? I think it was Brady, right? Am I wrong? Or was that Edelman?
It was Tom Brady, which feels insane, right? It feels like Butler should have won, but that goes back to what I'm saying, which is that the true superstar quarterbacks win the MVP when their team wins. But I don't think Stafford is part of that. In a weird way, I think Burrow is actually viewed, because like there's just such a, like Burrow is having such a cultural moment right now, you know, like everyone loves Joe Burrow. We're already seeing the, oh, Burrow's going to be the best for the, like, it's like all the crap everyone was saying about Herbert in the regular season that, you know, is all going to be forgotten when the Bengals lose a regular season game next year. But Burrow is just like, he's having such a moment that I think the voters will like view the narrative in that way.
Yeah, that was funny about how the way that was voted, Davis, too, when you think about that game specifically, which is why, to me, it's so difficult to take a defensive player, and it's rare that Von Miller would win, because essentially whoever wins as a defensive player is going to have to do things in the first half of the game. I mean, think of the way that the voters had the MVP already tabulated up until the point that Butler made that pick, which is why he didn't win the MVP. Essentially, everyone probably had Brady, right? The writers had Brady on their list. They scratched it off. Put Wilson as they were driving, and then the pick happened, and it was like, all right, I'll just go back to Brady. Nobody really even considered that Butler saved their game. I mean, it's just a crazy way that sort of played out in that Super Bowl. Maybe this is another one. We'll be right back with more fantasy sports today, more props right after this.
Great. SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. I'm Craig Mish along with Davis Maddock. Just a reminder to catch all of our Super Bowl coverage this week. Make sure you are following us on Twitter at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV for the latest news, notes, and information. Of course, picks against the spread, interviews that are happening right now in Los Angeles. We'll post them all there for you. That's at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV. And before we get back into our props, just one quick note, as ESPN reports that Rich Bisaccia, the former Raiders head coach, Davis, looks like he is headed to Green Bay to become their special teams coach. Of course, the Raiders did very well, Davis, with Bisaccia there, but opted to go with Josh McDaniels. And the Packers' special teams is clearly, I mean, their offense did cost them a potential trip to the Super Bowl, but their special teams was also pretty rough.
I mean, they were the worst special teams unit as measured by Football Outsiders, DVOA, in the entire NFL. They, you know, draft Amari Rodgers in the third round as like a kick return, punt return specialist. He's awful all year long, you know, does nothing. In fact, actually makes a bunch of mistakes in that role. Their season ended because they had a punt blocked and returned for a touchdown. It's hard to imagine special teams, you know, being the thing that sinks the ship for a team, because, you know, what is it? Not even 10% of the plays in a game, you know, kickoffs, punt returns, things like that. So Mason Crosby, even, you know, bad, just all bad. So I hope they are paying Rich Bisaccia well. I feel like he probably has to feel a little hard done by it, you know, makes the playoffs as the interim coach with all the weirdness in Las Vegas. And did he even get an interview? I feel like they didn't even really consider.
No,
so we got an interview. Okay. Yeah. So we got an interview. Good for him. You know, they went a different direction, you know, basically trying to become the Patriots of the West Coast. But certainly the Packers are going to be hoping that Rich Bisaccia does a good job in Green Bay.
Yeah, no doubt. And look, you know, sometimes, you know, coaches do well for one reason or another. The Raiders did have sort of a lucky run there at the end of the season, but Bisaccia, definitely from all accounts, the players wanted him back. We'll see with Josh McDaniels now running things in Las Vegas. Let's take a look at some more Super Bowl props courtesy of the FanDuel Sportsbook going into the weekend. First team to record a sack. We should just replace this graphic with Aaron Donald -210 versus the Bengals +160. But of course, the Rams do have some other players that can sack the quarterback. It's probably doing a disservice to them. But I think that's more or less the prop here, isn't it?
Well, I mean, you know, Aaron Donald's line for a sack is one. It's just one sack. This matchup is incredibly interesting for these props that we're about to talk through, because Joe Burrow is the quarterback who was sacked the most during the season, and Matthew Stafford is the quarterback who threw the most interceptions during the season. No quarterback who was the most sacked quarterback has ever won a Super Bowl before, and only Eli Manning is a quarterback who has won a Super Bowl, being the quarterback who is intercepted most often in, of course, you know, those very fluky Giants Super Bowls that I really wish we could just strike from history. So it's a matchup we've never really seen anything like this in the final game of the season before. Of course, you know, the Rams is going to be the smart money for the first team to record a sack because Burrow just eats all these sacks. The Bengals offensive line is not good, but you know, I don't think I can lay -210 on this, right? No. I mean, maybe you throw these in some parlays or something like that, but I don't think sure. I can lay -210, especially because it's the first. Like, what if, you know, what if the Rams get the ball first and then the Bengals have a quick three and out? Like, it just, there are too many ways this can go wrong, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And look, any of these props, anything over like 150, 160, it's you, if you bet three of those, you're going to lose one and then you're basically even. So I don't see much of a point. Right. I agree with you. So let's just run through this real quick. The team to record the most sacks. I think we're in that same predicament here, more or less. -230 with the Rams, Cincinnati Bengals, +175. I don't have an extreme knowledge of how many, you know, sacks the Bengals average per game, but I can tell you that it's not as much as the Rams.
No, I actually think this one is bettable. So I didn't think first one is bettable, but if you are wanting to, get, you know, money here, I definitely think this is the correct one. In the regular season, the Bengals were basically middle of the road. They had 42 sacks. You know, that was the same as the Cardinals and the Cowboys, you know, not great. They were below league average in hurries overall. Whereas the Rams defense, they got after the quarterback all year long, third in the NFL in sacks. And we know Burrow's propensity to take sacks. And by the way, you know, sacks, I think, are much more of a quarterback statistic than we think. You know, we sort of think like, oh, you know, a quarterback doesn't really have, they have no control over that. Either the pass rush gets there or it doesn't. But one of the things that, you know, the nerds who work for Pro Football Focus and Football Outsiders, one of the things they found is that quarterbacks actually do tend to be much more responsible for sack rate than we would have assumed 10 years ago. You know, Russell Wilson, a great example of that. Just a guy who gets sacked way more often than you would expect, given, you know, his overall skill level. So I'm not saying Joe Burrow is bad, but I am saying that I think this is bettable even at -230.
All right, so let's take a look at the first player to record a sack in the game, assuming there will be one. Are there odds, by the way, Brett? Are there no sacks whatsoever? I mean, it's always interesting to me. Like, thank you. Okay, 34-1 on no sack at all. I may like that better than any of these. Aaron Donald, +360. Trey Hendrickson, 5-1. Von Miller, 5.5-1. Miller doesn't play every down. Sam Hubbard, 9-1. And then we have a litany of guys that FanDuel's throwing at us here in Greg Gaines, Leonard Floyd, Traven Howard, and Troy Reader. They are all 11-1 and clearly could all get a sack. But what this is sort of telling you is that Davis, someone probably unexpected is going to end up winning some money for you on this bet. That's sort of the way that I see it based on the odds.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. My bet here would be on Troy Reader. So have a little bit of research I've done on this one. About 6 weeks ago, the Rams benched, I forget his name, but their normal middle linebacker, and they started using Troy Reader as their full-time middle linebacker, and he's played about 85% of their snaps in the playoffs, a little bit more than that. Now, he doesn't rush the passer a ton, so, you know, you're better off betting his tackles or whatever, but just the fact that he is going to be out there way more than the market is suggesting, like, he might be like Weddle. I mean, he might play every single snap in this game, so I'm just betting a bunch of props related to him because he's being priced like a backup or tertiary player when he's literally out there every single snap.
All right, good info there on Reader for sure. I'm still waiting. We have to do the penalty prop, by the way, before the week is over. It's my favorite one. I didn't even look at it yet. It's got to be 11, 12, or 13, somewhere in between those three. All right, defensive special teams touchdown. So one of these happened in the postseason, right? San Francisco scored a special teams touchdown. So, hey, who knows? It could happen in the Super Bowl. Yes, +260. No, minus 370. So it's a yes or no bet, right? Like, that's basically the way that you would go about this.
Yeah, I would actually bet yes here. I mean, I don't know how fair these odds are. The fair odds is probably close to like plus 350 or whatever. But again, going back to that statistical nugget that we have the most intercepted quarterback and the most sacked quarterback. I mean, that's basically where defensive special teams touchdowns come from. They don't come from, you know, fumbles via the running back all that often. You know, how often does a running back fumble and it gets picked up? Like, those are the ones where you sit on them. But it's a lot easier when you strip sack the quarterback to return that for a touchdown, right? So I actually think yes here. I mean, maybe it's not like the sharpest side of all time, mm-hmm. but this is also just kind of one of those fun ones to root for as you are watching the Super Bowl. So I don't hate that one.
All right, so let's close it out with interceptions. And boy, I don't know, this, I mean, to get plus on a prop and feel good about it is so rare. And it's not really plus here, to be honest with you, at plus 100. But I mean, I'm seeing Stafford throw picks all the time. And Burrow always like has one play where, I don't know, Davis, I close my eyes and I'm dreaming of Burrow running down to the sideline, like escaping a rusher, and he almost gets out of bounds, but instead he throws it right back over the middle for an interception. I got over here, over 1.5 on interceptions. You like under?
No way. No way am I betting the under here. I think Stafford could throw two. I think Burrow could throw two. I think they could combine for three or four in this game. I mean, that scenario you just mentioned, you know, Burrow rolling out to the side, chucking it. I mean, he did that against the Chiefs. And the linebacker dropped it. I mean, he threw it right to a Kansas City Chiefs linebacker, just like in his. I, not that I'm mad or upset that the Bengals beat the Chiefs still or anything. Not that I'm still, right. Not that I'm still ruminating on it. But he did. I mean, he threw it directly to a Chiefs linebacker. You know, Burrow threw an interception to Thornhill, I think, in that game on a deep pass attempt. And you know, one of the knocks for Joe Burrow coming into the league was that, you know, he's super smart, very cerebral, understands the offense, but he does not have a cannon. You know, Joe Burrow does not have a top five arm talent or whatever. He's not really one of those guys. And those are the type of quarterbacks that tend to throw a lot of interceptions because they trust themselves, they trust the situation, but they don't quite have the oomph to get it there. And Stafford is the opposite. Stafford does have the cannon. He's got all the arm talent in the world, and he trusts it too much. So he's like, well, I'm firing it in there 65 yards down the field to Van Jefferson. I'm the only quarterback in the world who can make that throw. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's being returned the other way. So this, I feel like this market is, I would price it the other way. I would price the over at like minus 115. So I really like this over. I think this is really strong.
Yeah, it almost seems too good to be true. This is probably my favorite one of all the ones that we've discussed. So as you've narrowed it down, and you know, certainly I'm still waiting for player props, by the way, on FanDuel. I don't know what I'm missing here, but normally I think that they're usually out by now. I guess maybe it'll be tomorrow. You know, yards and receptions and everything like that. I still am looking for that. But how many have you narrowed it down to at this point? Are you over under 9.5? Where are you at?
All inclusive, I have more than 9.5 for sure. That, I mean, you know, a lot of the multiple markets, so like Odell Beckham to win MVP, the Rams to win outright, the under mm-hmm. on Joe Mixon receiving yards, the over on Jamar Chase and Cooper Kupp and Odell Beckham receiving yards. I think those are interesting. I did bet Kendall Blanton for the first touchdown, but I mean, we will be going deep into all of these over the course of the week. Also parlayed the Rams with some of my golf bets this weekend to really juice up those odds as well.
Yeah, big event this weekend in the Phoenix Open. And so we'll cover that for you as well as the week goes on. As a reminder, this Sunday morning, it's our final edition of Fantasy Sports Today on Sunday morning, 8 a.m. Eastern. Myself, Matt Stryker, and Joe Pizzapia, we have you covered with our final DFS lineup of the season. So make sure you join our show. That is this Sunday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern right here on Sports Grid. Also, as well, A lot of the crew is out in Los Angeles, so make sure you're following along all day long. I can only imagine what Scott Farrell has planned a little bit later today, so stay on the grid right here on Sports Grid. SportsGrid.com. We'll wrap up our first hour of our show right after.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Well, the Major League Baseball lockout continues, Davis, and the U.S. Labor Department this morning has a report essentially saying that they are willing to step in and help. Major League Baseball asked for a mediator to come in and basically work together with the players. The players said no, so we're at a standstill. The owners will meet tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday in Orlando and apparently send over some proposal, but with no proposal and no agreement by, I believe it is probably Wednesday or Thursday this week, that will essentially mean spring training pitchers and catchers will not start on time next week.
What a bummer. Not the story we wanted to be telling the folks. We would love for the owners of the Major League Baseball franchises to wisen up, spend a little bit extra cash, disperse the money, more appropriately to their minor league franchises, to the guys, because really what this lockout is about is it's about the 24th guy. It's about the loogie for the Kansas City Royals. You know, the 30 best paid baseball players, they're totally fine with the market as it is. So I really hope that they get things figured out. I hope that the income for the league gets dispersed appropriately. And always remember, never side with the owners, folks. Always side with the labor.
I will tell you that the more I'm talking to people about it, the more I'm starting to think, though, players are culpable as well, man. Like, they could have easily accepted this mediation, at least to hear what they had to say, without accepting a deal, but are choosing not to. And there are some that feel, Davis, that they chose not to accept the mediation because there was potential embarrassment from a ruling from the mediator, meaning that they would not accept the deal that the mediator would accept. So, I mean, who knows if all of that is accurate or not, but something to think about, the PR optics on the player side as well. All right, we'll have more coming up at the top of the hour. Unfortunately, some bad news for an NFL running back. Go away.